rejected, bloody, rejected, bloody, rejected, bloody. Jesus Christ. In a few days or in a few weeks, we'll be celebrating Resurrection Day. But what does Resurrection Day mean without the death of somebody? When he was on the cross, we were indeed on his mind. But why did he go to the cross? What was the purpose of that? When he, Jesus Christ, was on the cross, he was thinking of us. These next 4 weeks, I want us to look at some statements of love from the cross. Some statements of love from the cross. If you open your Bibles up to Luke chapter 23 this morning. Statements of love. There's 7 statements that he makes while he's on the cross, lingering before he dies. We'll look at a few of them for the next few weeks. But I want you to pay attention to what the Word of God says, because it's the Word of God that's sharper than any two-edged sword. Humans' words can be sharp. Humans' words can make some difference, but it's God's Word that does the saving. It's God's Word that makes the eternal difference in our lives. And I want to urge you this morning, if you didn't bring your Bibles with you, there's a Bible in front of you in the pew, and I'm asking you to turn and look at what the Word of God says. See, I can stand up here and I can manipulate and I can say all kinds of different things, and you can't say that I'm wrong unless you've got the Word of God in front of you. So I want you to pay attention to what God has for you. And if you want to take the rest of this morning and tune out what I say, that's fine. Some of you do it anyway. But if you'll tune in to what God says, that's what matters. Luke chapter number 23. Luke chapter 23, and we're going to start in verse number, 26. Luke chapter 23, verse 26, it says this, "And as they, the soldiers, and as they led him, Jesus, led him away, they laid upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus." Jesus had been beaten for several hours. Jesus had had his beard ripped out physically by hand. He'd been spit upon. He wearing a crown of thorns. He had lost lots of blood. He was to the point where he could not even walk any further. And as he collapsed on the ground, a soldier looked around and saw somebody and said, "You, get over here. You carry the cross for him." Jesus just could physically no longer carry the cross. So they grabbed the fellow Simon. They said, "Here, you carry it." And I'm sure that it was not a suggestion. I'm sure that it was something they did on purpose to say, "Listen, he's unworthy of even making it to the cross. Unworthy of even making it to the mountain." And so as he was carrying the cross, I get to thinking about that. As he was carrying that cross, the blood of Jesus was smearing all over him. Some of you have a hard time touching things muddy and with worms, all kinds. Could you imagine carrying a beam of wood with somebody else's blood smeared all over it? And they followed him, and there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. This was not a pleasant procession. This was a time of crying and of anguish and of screaming and great sorrows. They were crucifying an innocent man. They were crucifying somebody who loved people. They were crucifying somebody who was completely innocent of the charges that had been placed before him. And the people who were following were screaming and crying, "Don't do it! Don't do it!" But the one who could have made the difference of changing kept his mouth closed. Who was that man? Was it Peter? No, he was long gone. Was it John? No, he wasn't there. Was it any of the other disciples? No, none of them were there trying to stop this procession. Who was it that could have stopped it? Jesus himself. All he would have had to done was say, Father, come get me. And a legion, 10,000 angels could have come down and wiped everybody out and taken Jesus back to heaven. He could have done it. So why did he endure this? Why did they let him rip his beard out? Why did they let him put the nails in his hands and in his feet? Why did they let him spit on him and beat him and put the crowns in his head? Why? Because he knew you and he knew me, and he knew that if he did not die, we would have no hope and no chance. Verse number 28 says this, but Jesus, turning unto those ladies and those women who were weeping, weep not for me, he says, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in that which they shall say, blessed are the barren, and the wombs that have never bare, and the paps which never gave suck. They shall then begin to say in the mountains, fall on us, and the hills cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall also be done in the dry? He says, listen, don't cry for me, because I'm coming back. I'm going to rise from the grave, but one day it's going to come when you're going to wish you could die and you can't. He's talking about the tribulation period, of course. He's talking about you're going to be rejected, you're going to be denied, and you're not going to have any hope but me. He says, but don't cry for me. Consider what you're about to go through and make a change. Verse number 31, or verse number 32. And there were also two other malefactors, villains, bad people. They were led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, the thieves, the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And then said Jesus, and here's the focal verse, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, forgive them. Now there's a lot in those three words right there. Father, forgive them. Now wait a minute. If we honestly look at it from a human perspective, how in the world could someone who'd been beaten and rejected and spit upon, how could he honestly, from the human perspective, ask God to forgive them for what they had done? Some of you have a hard time forgiving somebody because they don't put the toilet seat down. Some of you have a hard time because they don't put the bread wrapper back on the bread. Some of you have a hard time because they leave their clothes laying all over the place. Some of you have a hard time forgiving somebody who pulls out in front of you. Some of you have a hard time for forgiving and you fill the blank in. How in the world could Jesus Christ on a cross say, Father, forgive them? One word, love. It's so hard for us to fathom God's love for us. The wickedness and the filthiness of humankind. Your sins, my sins, my thoughts, my words, my deeds, things I've ever done in my life, the human beings who have fallen, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How in the world could God forgive us for those things? But I'm glad that Jesus had the presence of mind to whisper these words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Who is them? Is it the soldiers who were doing the nailing of the nails into his hands? Yes, it was them. Was it the Jews who arrested him falsely and gave him to the Roman government? Yes. Was it the child pornographer? Was it the adulterer? Was it the liar and the cheat and the thief? Was it the spouse abuser? Was it them? Or was it just us good Christians? See, we seem to think that we're special because we're in church, and surely God forgave the good Christians. The ones wearing the jackets and the ties and carrying their Bibles. And we think, okay, God forgave us. But we seem to forget where we came from. See, we're all filthy, nasty, ungodly sinners bound for hell. Every single one of us. All except me, of course, because I'm a pastor. No. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I needed Jesus to die for me just like you did. Because if he did it, we'd have no hope. Because look what it says there in verse 34. It says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We do what we do ignorantly sometimes. Now look at me for a minute. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but honestly this morning, how many of you do what you do on purpose? You know what you're doing is wrong. You know what you're about to accomplish or what you know it's wrong. Surely God can't forgive that. Surely his blood dripping down from his wrists and his feet and his head, it doesn't cover that. Yes, it covers even that. See, we take sin so lightly. We take it so lightly and thinking, well, you know what? That's not that big of a deal. No, my sin and your sin caused him to be put on a cross. Every single thing we've ever done wrong caused him to go to the cross on our behalf. Everything. Matter of fact, go to Isaiah chapter number 53 with me real quick. Hold your finger here in Luke. Go to Isaiah. Isaiah 53. Let me show you something here. Isaiah prophesied about this taking place thousands of years before it happened. Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 12. Well, we'll start in verse number 3. Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 3. Look at it with me. He is prophesying about this Messiah. He says, he is despised and rejected of men. Have you ever rejected Jesus Christ? I have. I rejected him. There were times in my life that I wanted nothing to do with him. I had no clue and concept of who he really was. And so I'd lived my life in self-pleasure and self-desire and did what I wanted to do. I rejected, just like some of you are right now. Some of you are rejecting him. By the very actions of your life, you think that he's just a fable. You think that it's just a story. You don't really understand and realize just what it means what Jesus Christ has done. May I tell you, it's time to wake up and to understand who Jesus really is. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Nobody cared less. Surely the soldiers that led him, surely the ones that demanded Simon to carry the cross, surely the ones that put the nails in his hands, they didn't care about him. He was just another Jew. He was just another man who claimed to be the Messiah. They had seen him by the bunches. Surely he was just another human being. May I tell you, he was more than that. He was God Almighty in the flesh. But he was wounded for your transgressions. No. Whose transgressions? Our transgressions. I can point my finger and say, well, he died because of you. He died because of you, Don. That's why he died. And you know why he died? Not only for you, he died because of me. He was wounded for our transgressions. I know, that's not politically correct right now. People don't want to admit that they're wrong. People don't want to admit that they've done something bad. We don't want to say that. Everybody else has done bad, but not me. I'm the good one. You're the bad ones. No, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, we are healed. With his bleeding, we're healed. And that's not just talking physically, that's talking spiritually. Now look at me for a minute. Some of you need spiritual healing this morning. What? Some of you have sin problem. You're trying to deal with sin on your own. You're trying to make it on your own efforts. You're trying to be good enough, and you're trying to do all the right things, and you're trying to be all you can be to make your sin go away. It ain't going away on your own. You've got to have spiritual healing, and the only way to have spiritual healing is by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. And by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of all the Baptists. Of who? All. All sinners. Everybody who has ever died in their sins and without dying in their sins. Anybody who's ever sinned caused Jesus to put on the cross. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. A sheep goes and they shear him. The sheep doesn't try to get away. The sheep doesn't try to kick and doesn't try to bite. It just stands there and let him shear. Same thing when they would take the sheep to the temple and they would slit its throat and they would get the blood. The sheep didn't struggle. Jesus didn't struggle. Why? Why didn't he fight back? Because he knew what he had to do for you and for me. Think about it. The creator of the universe allowed himself to have his back laid open with a whip like hamburger meat. He allowed them to rip his beard. He allowed him to put the crown of thorns. He allowed it. Why? So that your sins and my sins could be forgiven. Wow, what a Savior. Verse number 9, it says, he was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare this generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For his transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. He didn't do anything wrong. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When that shalt thou make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed and shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. God purposely chose this way. It doesn't seem fair. He didn't do anything wrong. He didn't sin. He didn't hate. He didn't scream. He didn't hurt people. He loved people. So why? Why? Four letters. I'll give you the first and I'll give you the last one. You guess the other two. L-E. Why? Love. When he was on the cross, you and I were on his mind. Now go back to Luke real quick. Look what he says. We see the fulfillment. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing, God. They don't understand what, because if they knew who I was, he says, if they knew who I was, there's no way they would crucify him. Have you ever been accused and punished for something you did not do? JT's hand went right up. Well, he may have gotten punished for something he didn't do, but he didn't get caught doing something else, so it just doubles up right there. We've all been accused and punished for something we didn't do. All of us have. And then when we find out later on, oh, wait a minute, if I'd have known what I knew now, if I'd have known then, there's no way I would have done it. Now, imagine for just a moment that soldier who pierced Jesus while he was on the cross. Imagine just for a moment, as soon as Jesus said, "It is finished," and the sky went dark, and the earthquake happened, obviously he's probably thinking in his mind, "Oh no, what have I done? He's really God. I'm in trouble." If those Jews and those soldiers really knew what they were doing, you know what they would have done? They'd have done all they could to save him. They would have done all they could to help him stay alive. Peter even tried to tell him, "Jesus, you're not going to go die for me." And Jesus looked at him and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Now, why did he say that? Because Jesus knew he had to die. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. There is no forgiveness for you or for I without somebody dying. So look at me for a minute. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Is he talking about you? He's talking about me? Yes. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What does this realization mean then? Look at verse number 39. What does this realization mean? When you finally come to this realization, what does it mean? And one of the malefactors, one of the thieves, which were hanging, railed on him, saying, "If you be Christ, save yourself and us." So one of the thieves that's dying on the cross yells at Jesus, "If you're really the Christ, save us." But the other, verse 40, said, "Dost thou not fear God, seeing that you are in the same condemnation?" Says, listen, shut your mouth, because you don't know what you're saying. He says, "And we indeed, we're justly, we're dying on purpose for what we've done, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss." This one over here is screaming at Jesus, accusing him. This one over here is saying, "You don't know what you're doing. He's not done anything wrong." Verse number 42. "And he," the thief, "said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." God, forgive me. Please forgive me. You're indeed who you say you are. I want you to think of the deepest, darkest, horrible sin you've ever committed in your life. Can God forgive that? Not on your own, he can't. But Jesus said, "Father, forgive them even of that, because of what I'm doing for you." See, somebody had to pay. Somebody had to pay for the sins of the world. And who was that somebody? Jesus Christ. So when he was on the cross bleeding out, I was on his mind. You were on his mind. And he knew he had to do this to have our sins forgiven. When this thief said, "Please, Jesus, remember me. Please remember me when you go to paradise." What did Jesus say? Look what he said. "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." How did that thief get to go to heaven? Because he was forgiven of his sins by what Jesus Christ did. How do you get to go to heaven one day? How do you get to be in the presence of God for eternity? By your good things you've done. Because you've come to church today. No. The only way is to be forgiven of your sins by Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. That's it. Regardless of your denomination, regardless of being a male or a female, regardless of rich or poor, it's got nothing to do with it. Have you been forgiven of your sins by the blood of Jesus Christ? That's what matters. So let me ask you a question. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Have you been forgiven? How about y'all on this side? Have you been forgiven for your sins? How about y'all here? Y'all up here? Y'all way up there on the balcony? What did you do to earn that? That's where it happened. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. So are you. Now this morning, I can't assume that everybody's been forgiven. Not everybody has. Some of you are sitting here and you've never been forgiven of your sins. You say, "Now wait a minute. You just got through saying that Jesus died for the sins of the world." He did. But unless you ask him to forgive you, you can't be forgiven. How could you be forgiven for something you never asked to be forgiven of? Right? Some of you haven't done that yet. Some of you have not asked God to forgive you of your sins. Some of you have not asked Jesus Christ to save your soul yet. Today's the day. Today's the day. You say, "Brother Brian, how do I do it?" You ask God. You acknowledge that Jesus Christ died for you. You ask God to forgive you for your sins through his blood. You ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's what it's about. The cries of love. The statements of love. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Praise God he said that. Praise God he said that. Miss Shirley, if you'll come, heads bowed and eyes closed. I just want you to contemplate just for a few moments. Just close your eyes and bow your heads. And I want you to ask yourself this question. Have I been forgiven? Have all my sins been washed away? Or am I living a lie this morning? See, because here's the fact, brothers and sisters. No matter how good you are, no matter how good you try to be, none of that matters on your own. Only Jesus could wash away your sins. So let me ask you a question. You answer to yourself. Is Jesus Christ your Savior? Have you been forgiven eternally? If you haven't, today's the day. Today's the day. If you need forgiveness, if you need to be covered in the blood, today's the day. I'm going to ask you to come. We'll have socially distancing going on. We'll have people wearing masks. But we'll take the Bible to show you how to know Jesus Christ, your Savior. That's the most important thing. But don't put it off. You must have Christ. Heavenly Father, you know our hearts. And I thank you for what Jesus has done. And I thank you for forgiving me through his blood. Lord, there was a time in my life that I was your enemy. There was a time in my life when I didn't know Jesus as my Savior and I wasn't forgiven. But Father, I thank you that you forgave me when I trusted Christ as my Savior. And I'm no longer your enemy. I am now one of your children. I ask you now, God, to help me live for you. And if there's a precious soul I hear this morning, does it know this assurance? May today be that day for them. They can know they're forgiven for all their sins. And they can know that they're your child. In Christ's name I pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. If you have that need this morning, if you need to be forgiven, I'm going to ask you to come. I'm going to ask you to come. Don't put it off.